preachers like to preach about when they're in Malachi. So we're talking about giving today. And so there's a couple things I want to say before we get into this service. Victory Life Church is a very, very blessed church. So what we're talking about has absolutely nothing at all with trying to fill the coffers around here. What we are talking about is that I want, Sister Claudia wants, the church leadership, the Most High God wants his people to be blessed. Okay, do you hear what I said? God wants his people to be blessed. So it's not about taking anything that we don't deserve or taking anything from you. I just want you to be blessed. And just bear with me for the next however long. This is what God says, and I want to do it justice. So right now I'm going to pray. Father God, thank you so much for your anointing. And what needs to be said, Lord, let it be said. What doesn't need to be said, Lord, just hold my tongue back. Thank you, Father God, that your will is going to be done, and we're going to leave here excited and refreshed and energized, ready to go about and do and be what you've called us to be. And we love you and praise you. In Jesus' wonderful, precious name we pray. Amen. So way back in the Old Testament, in the book of Malachi, we have Malachi, the prophet, being used by God to convey this specific message to God's people. So follow along with me, Malachi 3:8. Will man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? In your tithes and contributions. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. I will rebuke the devourer for you, so that it will not destroy the fruits of your soil, and your vine in the field shall not fail to bear, says the Lord of hosts. So we have some great givers in this church, and let me just throw this out there. I don't know. I don't have a clue who puts in what and who don't put in nothing. I don't keep up with that stuff. I don't need to know that stuff. That's something else that other people do. Okay, but see, what we got going on here in Malachi, God is talking to these people saying, you guys have put yourself under a curse. Okay, and you guys are robbing me. And that's pretty serious. God's saying, hey, you guys are robbing me. Okay, so let's start off with this and be honest with yourself. Has God been good to you, church people? You know God has been good to you. He has been faithful. So as Malachi being used by the Holy Spirit is telling these guys, you guys are robbing God. Where are we robbing God, you might say? And I love that. Where God sends that out there. I think that's a brilliant thing where he's like, you know, expecting these people to say, I ain't robbing you. Where am I robbing you? What are you talking about? How do I rob God? He says, well, you're robbing me with your tithes and your offerings, Lord. And you're robbing me with your tithes and your offerings. And you've put yourself under a curse. Now, that's very serious talk, right? Okay. Well, this is Old Testament stuff, you might say. But let's dig a little deeper because, yes, this is Old Testament stuff, and we are New Testament Christians, but let's start this journey. Can I get a witness? Thank you, Jesus. So look at your monitor right there, Leviticus 27 and verse 30. We have the law given. Every tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the trees, is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. So it's talking about tithing. It's talking, what is tithing? What is a tithe? It's a tenth. Simple way to say it, it's just 10%, a tenth. And this would be an agricultural society. I wrote that down because I didn't want to forget that. This is an agricultural society. So their crops are their money. You guys understand what I'm saying? And God says this, every tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or fruit of the trees, is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. So everything that you've acquired, every blessing that you have received is a blessing. Every blessing you received is a blessing. It is a gift from God. No, that's not true. I went to college. I worked really, really hard, and I got this good job, and I make $8 more an hour than you. Listen, man, the reason you're able to do that is because God has blessed you. Every good thing, James says, every good thing you have is from God. And that is true. Okay? And so here's the old saying, you can't outgive God. That's totally true. You cannot outgive God. We are blessed. We're Americans. We are blessed. This ain't a perfect place, but it's the best place under the sun. Can I get a witness? And not only that, cool people, you're Floridians, man. What a blessed bunch of folks you guys are. God is good. God is faithful. You can't outgive God. But God's pointing something out. You guys have put yourself under a curse. I want to bless you, okay? And God says, every good thing you got is from me. Now, he set up these rules in the Old Testament. He set up this law in the Old Testament. Give me a tenth. Give me a tenth back. And you know, when I was a younger lad, when I was a young feller, and I'd sit out here and listen to people preach about tithing and offerings and stuff like that, it would kind of aggravate me a little bit, you know. But see, the reason, as I'm older now, a little bit more mature, and I do mean just a little bit more mature, I look back, and the reason why it aggravated me is because I was kind of stingy, man. You know, it was kind of like stingy. I didn't want to give my money away, my hard-earned money. And I'll never forget the day when me and Rachel were a young married couple, and we were in the church parking lot, or in my mind, we're in the church parking lot. And she says, we got to start giving an offering. We got to start tithing. And I was, you know, I've been a Christian for a long while. And I was like, woman, what are you talking about? We can't afford to do that. Well, see, remember what God just told the Israelites through Malachi. You guys are under a curse. You guys have put yourself under a curse because you're not obeying the law. Okay, moving forward, the law was given in Leviticus, and you'll see that throughout the Old Testament. Now, let's go to the next slide, church people. There, I said it. Now you know. Numbers 18 and 21. Same thing to the Levites. These are the workers in the temple. The tithe was set up. Or this law was given so the priests and the Levites could do their ministry to the Lord. Numbers 18 and verse 21. To the Levites I have given every tithe in Israel for an inheritance in return for their services that they do their services in the tent of meeting. There it is again. Now, moving forward here, this is kind of important since we're talking about tithing, and I hope I'm not boring anybody, and I hope I'm not making anybody upset. But before this law was given, tithing actually predates the law of Moses. Tithing giving a tenth actually predates the law of Moses. It goes way back to the beginning of the Bible. It goes back to the book of Genesis when Abram, who eventually would become Abraham, the Lord blessed him in battle. The Lord blessed Abram in battle. And so he had these spoils of his victory. And he blesses the high priest Melchizedek, I'm sorry. Blesses Melchizedek with a tenth. We see that right here in Genesis 14 and verse 20. Way before the law was ever given, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And Abram gave him a tenth of everything. So to the high priest, to Melchizedek, Abram gives him a tenth. So we see that starting way back in Genesis. Then the law was given. Okay. Now you say, well, we're New Testament people. So what's this got to do with the price of tea in China? What's up with the history lesson? Well, let's let Jesus weigh in on the topic. Okay, look at Luke 11:42. Now, the Pharisees, you could say they were kind of Jesus' arch enemy. They're always out to trip him up. Luke 11:42, but woe to you Pharisees. These were the religious teachers, the religious elect, the big time fancy boys. And they didn't like Jesus very much. And so Jesus is, in this particular situation, like he does in many parts in the gospel, he is pointing out the hypocrisy of the Pharisees and how they like to do things to be seen, but their heart is far from God. Luke 11 and verse 42, but woe to you Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue, not Rue McClanahan. I was just dying to say that. I couldn't wait to say that, Rick. I knew it wasn't going to go anywhere, but I was just, Okay, Luke 11:42. But woe to you Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and every herb. Okay, well, they're tithing and neglect justice and the love of God. So God's looking at the heart, right? He's looking at the heart. He said, you're going through the motions. You're even splitting up your herbs, man, down to the tenth. Goodness gracious. Okay, now look what he says. But woe to you, Pharisees, for you tithe mint, rue, and every herb, and neglect justice and the love of God. Can you imagine that? Israel's religious leaders, the teachers of God's holy word, this is what Jesus says about them. And you neglect justice? These guys were like lawyers, man. And you neglect justice and the love of God? What's wrong with that picture? Okay, like I said, God's looking at the heart. We'll touch more on that in a little bit. These you ought to have done, loving God and being just. Loving God and being just. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others. So when he's talking about this tenth or this tithing or giving to the Lord, he says, make sure your heart's in the right place, okay? But he's saying, don't neglect the tithing. This is Jesus Christ. He's saying, don't neglect giving back, okay? So let me ask this question again. Have you been blessed by God? Is God good to you? Amen. Everybody's going through a bunch of crazy mess. I mean, look at my friend, the Merrills. Look what they're going through. Look what Brother David's going through. And all of us, we got these things going on. But if the truth be told, if we truly look at our situation, God has been so good. God has been so good to us. Anyways, so look, come with me down to Matthew 22 and verse 21. So just a little recap of so far. All right. Predating the law, Abram gave a tenth to the high priest Melchizedek, okay? The law was given, all right? And in Malachi, it says, you guys have put yourself under a curse because you're robbing me by not giving me what is owed to me. Okay? And like, you know the words, you know the little phrase, God doesn't need your money. But God has set this up so we actively get to take part in being used in the ministry. You know, the money that comes into this church, it goes out, we bless other people, pays my bills, yada, all that good stuff, you know? But God doesn't need your money, you know? But he does this, and one of the major blessings is you get to be blessed out of it for being part of this. Isn't that cool? So look at Matthew 22 and verse 21. Now here again, the Pharisees, they're trying to trip Jesus up by his words. Now this, they think they really got him in a corner here. They think this is a really good one, because this would be really excellent if they could get Jesus to say something bad about Caesar. Because remember, Israel was being ruled by the Romans at this time, okay? So they think they kind of got him in a pretty good corner, but Jesus being Jesus and being so brilliant, I absolutely love to see these interactions with Jesus Christ and the Pharisees, man. And he's so compassionate and so tender, but you can tell that, you know, when it says in the Old Testament that God hates pride and he hates arrogance and there's nothing good about that. You see that played out so perfectly in the New Testament when Jesus just cuts these guys down, man. Anywho, tell the truth, shame the devil, right? Matthew 22 and verse 21, the conversation comes up by these guys working for the Pharisees. Is it lawful for us to pay taxes? Should we pay our taxes to our really mean and cruel rulers, the Romans? Should we pay the tax that Caesar expects? And so Jesus just brilliantly says, hey, let me see one of them coins you got there. Let me see what you got there. What's that in your pocket? But let me see that. Someone gives him a coin. He's like, well, whose face is on this coin? And they're like, Caesar's. Caesar's face. And Jesus says this. They said, Caesar's? Because he asked, what's on this coin? They said, Caesar's face. Then he said to them, therefore, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Isn't that cool? Isn't that cool? He just told us we got to pay our taxes, man. That's what he's saying. Yeah. They said, it's in the Bible. Yeah. They said, see, Caesar's. Then he said to them, therefore, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Now, check this part out. And to God, the things that are God's. So God does expect us to give some financial blessings back to his people. Give some financial blessings back to the church. Make sense? Y'all with me so far? Not really? Okay, so let's go to the next slide. Law was given. Jesus says, don't stop tithing, you know, but get your heart in the right place, man. But don't give up on the tithing part. He says, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, give to God what is God's. So here's the question. Is money our boss? You know, we got to have it. You know, we got to have it. You can't live without it. You need it. You got to have some sort of finances. If we didn't have cash money, we'd be trading seashells or something like that. Okay, so Matthew 6 and verse 21. This is Jesus again. So right now, let's just look at our hearts, all right? Maybe you're getting a little frustrated. I remember listening to preachers talk about money, and I was like, God, get a little frustrated, you know. And this isn't the easiest thing to talk about. But like I said, this is not about me being blessed or me getting new fancy wheels for the truck or nothing like that. You can do that if you want to. I'm playing. Jesus, forgive me. Matthew 6 and verse 21. Now think about this, guys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This is Jesus. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What is your heart devoted to? What is your treasure? You know, what do you think about when you're all alone? Where does your heart go to? What really gets you excited? What do you think about? Is your treasure money? Think about it. Is my treasure money, or is my treasure my relationship with the Most High God? Because this is what God says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Okay, so what do we truly treasure in this world? Like I said, we got to have money, but we don't need to let money have us. Can I get a witness? Now look at Matthew 6 and verse 24. We're just going through this little part of just letting God kind of search our hearts. Matthew 6 and verse 24. No one can serve two masters. You ever heard this one before? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other. Is that true? All God's people. Now, of course it's true. It's scripture, but I've seen it. I've seen it not just in other people's lives. I've seen it in my own life, man. We have this tug of war between what's right and wrong. Okay, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. Listen to this part. You cannot serve God and money. So we're Christian folks in here. Okay, if you haven't accepted Jesus, you need to do that today. Don't put that off. You need to accept Jesus Christ today. Tomorrow's not promised to anybody. Okay, we're talking about eternal life right now for this moment. All right, if you do not belong to Jesus Christ, okay, you need to take care of that. You need to ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins. You need to ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. Okay, you need to do that today. Don't put that off. Tomorrow's not promised to you or anybody else. Moving forward. Talking to the Christian folks in here, God says, search your heart. Who's your boss? What do you think about? Where's your treasure at, man? Are you getting frustrated right now because Paul's talking about money right now? I gave of my Sunday to come up here and to grow in relationship with the Lord. He's talking about my money? Give me a break, man. You guys don't think like that, do you? I know you guys wouldn't. Okay. Okay, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. So it's decision time. What's my treasure? What am I holding on to? All right, and you can be, money can be your boss, man. Money can be your treasure, and you don't have a dollar. You know, I'm not talking about people being stingy because they got tons of money and they don't want to get rid of it. That's part of it. But man, money can be an idol to us, and we ain't got a dollar. We ain't got two pennies to rub together. God doesn't want anything to be more important to us than our relationship with God. Now, remember, Matthew 6, verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you as well. So if I put God first, God's going to take care of me. God is going to meet my needs. And you know that is truth. You know that's the truth. You know that God has always been there for you. All right? I'm not saying he hasn't had to teach us lessons, because God does chasten those he loves, right? He does bring that correction. And I'm not saying that you don't have hard times. We know that's true. Through much tribulation, we enter the kingdom. Okay, but what I'm saying is God's been faithful to you. All right. God, even when you ran away, he was like the prodigal son's father waiting for you to return. Can I get a witness? Okay. So you can't serve two masters. So we got to decide what's going on. And like I said, man, this church is so blessed. And we have such wonderful givers, and we do a ton of stuff in the community, and we do a ton of stuff in missions and stuff like that. So it's not like I said, it's not about taking your money. It's about us being blessed. It's about you being blessed. So let's let the Apostle Paul weigh in on this. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 9:6-7. The Apostle Paul is taking up one of these offerings that he's going to go help the church in Jerusalem with. 2 Corinthians 9:6-7. The point is this. That's pretty cool, right? This is what I'm trying to say to you guys. The point is this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Is that true? Yeah, it's true. You put a couple seeds in the ground, you might get a couple little things growing up. Put a bunch of seeds in the ground, you're going to get a bunch of things growing up. That's science right there. Yeah. We're going to do that. We're going to take a bunch of apple cores and we're going to plant them in the ground. And we're not going to do that. Yeah. 2 Corinthians 9:6-7. So the point is this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Okay, so let's deviate for just a second, or let's just pull to the side. All right. Not just money, but what about your time? You know, what about that? You know, what about your groceries? Okay, moving forward. Verse 7, each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion. Okay, so one day, every time I read that verse, I think about the Bible study, me and Al Davis and Donnie and Mike and Don Stimson. We just been doing this thing for years. And one time, me and Brother Don and Al and some other folks are there, and one of our buddies says, I'm going to start tithing. I go, okay, great, cool. I didn't even know he wasn't tithing. You know, like I said, I don't keep up with that stuff. And his attitude was really weird, man. He was like, and God better bless me, but God better. And it was just really peculiar because he was really upset because things weren't working out financially. And he says, okay, I'm gonna start tithing. I'm going to put God to the test, like he says. But it was really weird and peculiar because he's really, really upset. And he's like, and God better do this. Donnie, you remember that? And me and Donnie and I were like, well, you know, hold on a minute. You know, just relax. Okay. You want to bless God back because God has been good to you. All right. Don't just do it because you feel like you have to do it. Does that make sense? Don't just do it because you feel like you have to do it. But listen, God has been good to you. He has been so good to you. All right. And we want to give back because he's been so good to us. Make sense? Okay. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So let's not leave that part out. Okay. So what the point I'm trying to make right here is, if you are just so upset that God wants you to give him some of your money back, you know, if you're really, really upset about that, okay, then just step back, count to 10, because God loves a cheerful giver, okay? So let's look at the big picture. Has God been good to you? Yes, you know he has. Man, you know he has. I'm not saying everything works out your way. I'm not saying that at all, but God has been good to you. You got air in your lungs, and when this goes on and on, you're blessed. Let's go to the next slide. I hope y'all are getting something out of this. Because when we take up we're going to take up another offering. All God's people want, kind of out the side of your mouth. Okay. God loves a cheerful giver. Has God been good to you? Luke 6:38. This is good, man. This is really, really good. Given it will be given to you. So if you're just really furious about the 10% thing, you're like, well, I don't really see it mentioned past Jesus. I don't really see it in the church age they talking about a specific amount. Well, I'll give you that. Okay. But has God been good to you? Let 10% be a jumping off place. or 9.9.9.9%. Just give back to God, man. Just give back to God. He's been good to you. And see, check this out. In Malachi, we just read a few minutes ago, God actually invites us to put him to the test. He's like, test me out in this, okay? I'm not being stingy. I've set this thing up so you get to be actively involved in ministry and furthering the gospel, and you're going to get blessed for doing this. And it's been said, does God have your heart? You know, if he has your checkbook, he probably has your heart. Does that make sense? You know what I mean? All right. Luke 6 and verse 38. This is super cool. Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use it, will be measured back to you. So the picture, actually, there's a hole. I found this hole again yesterday. Me and Rick were, we were having a work day down here. And so years ago, me and some other folks and Josh, Brother Josh and Dina were out there, and Brother Josh had parked his truck close to the building, and he caved in the old septic tank. So it created this big old hole. So we brought in a bunch of dirt. We kept filling up that thing, and then after every good rain, there'd be another hole in the middle of this huge pile. And we kept doing it, bringing in more and more dirt. And so finally, the thing stopped filling up. It was like do you understand what I'm saying, guys?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. So finally, the thing stopped sinking in anymore. And we put quite a bit of dirt and gravel and stuff over and over again. It was, for a few years, it was like nothing, just completely cool. And then yesterday, I'm out there, and I step on the ground, a little hole. Oh, that's great right here on the playground. It's a lawsuit waiting to happen. We fill it, me and Rick fill it up again. And Rick was really letting some aggression out, man. He said, this is what you got to do. Picture your old lady. And it's like, Rick, what are you talking about, man? He didn't say that. Not exactly. But anyways, we filled up the hole again, and right now it looks super, just nothing. It's just stuffed to the brim. There's nothing else that can fit in there. But maybe the next time it rains, maybe there'll be another hole there again, and we'll have to do it again. And maybe we'll have to even bring in some more dirt because we can't have a hole in the playground, right? So anywho, think about what I just said, and this is what God says. Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap, for with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. It's like God is just giving you, just blessing you. You've sowed back into the kingdom. God said, hey, man, you know, I want you to be part of this. Give some of your blessing back. And you do that, and then God just blesses you and blesses you and blesses you and blesses you till like it's just, you are just full. You can't take up anymore. And then it's shaken, and there's a little space there. And God fills that space up. And then it's shaken, and there's a little space there. And God fills that up, and it's just pouring everywhere, man. It's just running all over your lap. You're like, look at my blessing over here. It's pouring everywhere. Yeah. Look. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap, for with the measure you use it will be measured back to you. Okay? Proverbs 3, 9, and 10. Honor the Lord with your wealth. It's a pretty good proverb right here. Pretty good observation. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty. That sounds good, right? So God's not in the lying business. He just don't do it. He can't lie. He can't lie. It's not in him. Then your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will be bursting with wine. Some of you ladies are like, my vats. No. Okay. Proverbs 11:24. Check this observation out. Proverbs 11:24. This is just a little bit of wisdom coming to you. One gives freely, yet grows all the richer. You ever known anybody like that? One gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. Check that out, man. You know, it's like putting your hard-earned money in your pockets and you got holes in it. It's like when Brother Dalton gives me them free movie passes and they're just burning a hole in my pocket. I can't wait. I'm like, that's something completely different, but I could use some of those. Tell the truth, shame the devil. Okay, I'm going to close with this. God blesses us. And God wants us to give some of that back. If you're just frustrated and white-knuckled and just really furious about the 10%, okay, then don't do the 10%. There you go. Let that be your springboard. All right? Give back. God has been good to you. Okay, Deuteronomy 16, verse 17. Every man shall give as he is able. The guy making $3,500 a week is going to give a little more than the guy making $150 a week. Every man shall give as he is able according to the blessing of the Lord your God that he has given you. Look, according to the blessing of the Lord your God that he has given to you. So give in proportion to however you feel that God has blessed you. Give in proportion to how you feel God has blessed you. If you feel like he's blessed you, then give back. If you don't feel like he ain't blessed you, then hold on to your money. You'd probably be doing better off with just keeping it then. But if you feel like God has blessed you, then proportionally give back to him. Okay, so I love you guys so much.